Okay, so we are going to Be'ezus Hashem finish off Shehiyah and begin Hachzara today. So, or Chazara today. So, we discussed a little bit about a blech last time. Let's talk about Shehiyah in an oven. An oven is the obviously the way people normally cook things. So, because of that, Rav Moshe and Etshuvan Arachayim Chel Dal Simenai and Dalit Bishel Os Chav Zayin, meaning in that long tshuva, it's Rabbi Eider. In number 27 in that tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that you can never do shehiyah in an oven unless the food is already at the point of mitstamik v'ralo, unless you have an oven insert. What in the world is an oven insert? So you've never seen one because it ruins the whole oven. No one would ever use one. It's like a metal box that would go into the oven that, you know, is like a blech around the entire inside of the oven. Rav Moshe held that this was necessary before they had self-cleaning ovens, that this was necessary for kashrus purposes as well. Rav Moshe did not hold like Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Aaron Cutler and most other Gedolei Yisrael who held that you could kasher an oven with libun kal by just turning it on to its highest temperature for an hour, relying on Kabbalah Kachpolta. Rav Moshe held that it needed to be like 950 degrees. You know, it has to be, and a regular oven can't get to that. So he actually required this oven insert. So if anyway you needed it for kashrus, an oven insert, so maybe you had one around anyway, so you would use it for keeping food in an oven. So the question is, so really? So if you have food that's cooking from before Shabbos, you have a chalim that's in your oven, and you set the timer on your oven to turn off, I don't know, an hour before Shabbos starts, after Shabbos starts rather. So it'll be cooking into Shabbos, so that way it'll get an hour more of cooking into Shabbos, and then you'll take out the challah for your Friday night challah. Let's say if you're having a Friday night challah, you're having a tish or something. Oh good, so even better. A tish. You set the oven to shut off 3 hours after Shabbos starts. So by the time you're going to pull the challah out, everything is going to be off. You're not going to be turning any lights on. No thermostats can be affected. You're not going to open the oven until 3 hours after Shabbos starts. But your challah remains cooking into Shabbos. So is this a problem? So on the one hand, the oven itself has it, so that meaning that would be Shehiyah. According to Hananya, you're okay. Why are you okay according to Hananya? You don't need to be garfu katan because it's already machmir b'shai by the time Shabbos starts. But according to the Chachamim, you have a problem, and we try to be machmir like the Chachamim because it's certainly still at a point of mitstamek v'yafalo. Right? Or one would imagine it's at the point of the sun v'yafalo. So how do you do grufu ketuma on an oven? So one might argue, well, where's the fire in the oven? You open an oven, if you see giant flames coming out, you have a problem. You need to get a fire extinguisher. Right? You should have one in your kitchen anyway, just stand. I got a public safety announcement. It's a good idea to have one. But normally the fire's covered anyway. So maybe it's an automatic garfu ketuma. Because you don't see the fire anyhow. So Rav Moshe says nothing to him. You need an oven insert. That's the only way that will make it garuf v'katum. Now Rabbi Ribiat, in footnote number 181, you got to read the footnotes in Rabbi Ribiat. You can't just read the regular. So in the footnote he writes, "D'b'shas hachak efshel lismoch al hamakilim b'shihiyo b'tanur she'esh m'chusa al yidei kosle atanur." That b'shas hachak, you could rely on the mekilim to allow leaving food cooking in an oven, relying on the fact that the walls of the oven itself cover the fire. Why? He says, first of all, I'm not 1,000% convinced that the Rabbanan of Chananya would have a problem once something is mefushal kol tzarcha. Meaning, it could be that, like we said, that the halacha is, the ikra din is, that they would have a problem until it gets to the point of mitstamik v'ratlo, but it could also be that as soon as it's mufushal called tzarcho, it's okay. And he says, v'od k'maduma shamati b'shem agon of Aaron Cutler, de'betoch tanurim shalana mutu l'shos betochim b'des pashal called tzarcho. He says, that's what I heard from Aaron Cutler. V'im k'en kol shkei shef shalahati l'shos b'makom she'esh mechusa ve'in neniris. So what's he doing? He's combining three little sniffing. Sniff number one is maybe we really hold like Hananya, right? Sniff number two, because after all, remember that Bir Alecha, we're so aduk in Oneg Shabbos, we're so attached to Oneg Shabbos, Beis Yosef, right, that we're not going to listen to anyone who tells us not like Hananya, right? So maybe we really hold like Hananya. And even if you hold like Rabbanan, I don't know that the Rabbanan necessarily hold that it has to be at the point of its stomach Veralo to be Matur Shia. Maybe it just needs to be Mvushal called Sarcho, and even if it's still Mitzdamik, V'yafalo. Shia would be good enough, would be permissible. And third, maybe this is called Garav Vakatum, because the fire is covered. Now, any of those alone, we would never rely on. But when you put the three together, says Rabbi Ribiat, there's what to rely on. It should be noted, though, Rav Moshe points out in Os Chav Ches, the very next Os in that Tshuva, that opening an oven door when the oven is on might be a problem anyway. Because very, very often it's, if you open an oven door, the cool air is going to get in and the fire is going to go on. The fire might be ignited, so it's going to be a psik reisha of Havara. So he says you have to figure out whether that's a psik reisha. I remember when my wife and I got married, our first Shabbos that we were home for a Shabbos. First time we were ever like doing Shabbos on our own. It was like a very exciting thing, right? So I went to shul Friday night, Rabbi Arieli shul. I came back and to the apartment, and I lived down the block from your parents at the time. And I came back to the apartment. I opened the door, and my wife, who very frum lady and very sincere, but not like the biggest masmid in the whole world, and she was sitting on the couch with Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, her Hilcha Shabbos notes, and the Shabbos kitchen. All out, all over her. So I said, just reviewing? So, no such luck. She was not just reviewing. She said, we have a couple of problems. So, problem number one is we left the light on in the refrigerator, and all of our food for Shabbos Day was in the refrigerator, and all of our drinks were in the refrigerator. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, all of our food for Friday night was in the oven. And the oven was on. It was still on. So we weren't sure. She wasn't sure whether we're allowed to open the oven at all. Because if the oven's still on, you can open the oven. Maybe it's a secretion that the fire's going to go up. So we had challah rolls. That's what we were down to. So it turned out for the best. We took our challah rolls and we walked down the block to where Aryeh and Atari Yudin lived. And we knocked on the door and said, we have challah rolls. Can we join you? And we joined them for Shabbos. So it was plenty of food. Everyone had what to eat. So it was a nice Shabbos. And when we took the food out of the oven after Shabbos was over, it was no longer edible, as you might imagine. So it turns out that with our oven, we probably could have opened the oven door. It was an oven. It was an old oven where, if you listen carefully, you could tell when it's when the flame was going, what was active, and when it wasn't. So while the flame is active, you're allowed to open it up because, as we said before, the way these thermostats worked, it would be extremely dangerous if the fire just went very high as soon as you open an oven door, as soon as it got cooler. That's not the way they work. The fire's on and it just will stay on for longer until it reaches its desired temperature. So it would not have involved any malacha to open that oven door. I did not know that at the time, so that's why we ended up just spending Shabbos with the Yudins. But that was the if I believe Moshe Samter's parents were with us that Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. So that's as far as ovens are concerned. Question? What would be the Shasat Chag that Rabbi Ribiat is talking about? I guess it's a case where it happened and it's Shabbos now. Meaning, you come home and you put it together with my story. Imagine that was the situation, right? So she said, I had the food cooking in the Shabbos. Now, any oven you buy now, you could easily just put it on a timer where it will shut off at a certain time. So you don't have to worry about opening an oven that's on Shabbos, because you could put it on a timer. And also, that's what Shabbos mode takes care of. Shabbos mode takes care of on an oven. It's the wrong name. Shabbos mode, I mean, it's not the wrong name, it's just it's somewhat of a misleading name. Some people think, and the Starkey had problems with this, that people were calling up, they're like, okay, so when I cook on Shabbos,
They're like, what do you mean when you cook on Shabbos? Well, no, I put it on Shabbos mode, you know, before I cook on Shabbos. Like, no, you cannot, like, Shabbos mode does not allow cooking on Shabbos. It's like, when I eat a cheeseburger, it's on Shabbos mode, you know. So, like, it doesn't allow you to violate whatever Yisurim you want. But what it does do is that it will make a regular oven, even when it's on, then if you open it up, then it's not going to be a psik reisha that the fire is going to go on. So that's what Shabbos mode does, and it'll also make it that in the more modern ovens, every time you open the door, some display is going to change. Lights are going to go on, the display on the screen is going to change. So Shabbos mode basically takes a new oven and turns it into an old oven, right? It just brings you back 40 years and makes your oven primitive. That's the idea. Now, what about crock pots, hot plates, and shihiya? So if there's no way to adjust the temperature on the crock pot or the hot plate, so Nu, what would you say? Would you say shihiya? Mutter. Why? Because what's the whole problem of shihiya? Shem yichata b'kholim. If it's not even possible to adjust the temperature, it's not even possible to play with the fire, then there's no shem yichata. However, the Chazon Ish quoted in Orchos Rabbeinu, and it's also a little more difficult to read, but in the actual Chazon Ish, Siman Lamed Ches, Katan Beis, and Rav Eliashiv both say that we are not mechalik between something that's efshar lechatos bo and that which is e efshar. You always, whenever you have a fire, you always need a blech, and therefore they say you need a thick piece of aluminum foil that makes it clear that it's not just there for cleanliness. Like a thin piece of aluminum foil, sometimes people will put on their hot plate just to protect from spills and things. But something thick, like a thick piece or a double layer of heavy-duty foil, where it's very clear that it's not just there for cleanliness, and it might even mildly affect the heat of the hot plate. That's what they hold. That is not so pashut at all. Why is it not so pashut at all? Rabbi Kiva Eiger on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Yud Ches, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, depending on your version of the Shulchan Aruch, on your printing of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kiva Eiger on the page of Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Yud Ches, Si'iv Gimel, Rabbi Kiva Eiger writes, B'chidushe HaRashba, Kasav Zelashona, Umasha Al Gabe Toldos Chama, Lomatsinu Misha Yachmir Lav Lishos. Interesting thing. Remember we spoke about Toldos Chama, things that were heated by the sun, or things that were heated by the fire, but it's not the fire itself, it's not the sun itself. Can you do Shihiya on a Toldos Esh or Toldos Chama? Right, what do we give as an example of Toldos Esh, Toldos Chama? You have a frying pan that you heated in a lot sun in July, right? So you started the cooking before Shabbos. Can you do shihiya? Can you let the egg continue to cook into Shabbos? So he said, "Lo matzino mishiach merav lishos." The koshke the man yom lahachzir tznan ad kan l'shono. Mashma di yesh letzade dohakel da af ma da asu lishos al gabe kira mut lishos al gabe toldochama. That even that which you're not allowed to do shihiya on a stove, you're allowed to do on toldochama. Says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, "Venir lani yastaiti." Even on Toldos Ar, not just Toldos Chama. Somebody else heated by fire, you're allowed to do Shia. Why? To lo gara mi kira grufa. It's at least as good as a kira grufa. Why is it at least as good as a kira that's grufa? What does grufa do for you? If you've removed the chance to be mechat to become because you've swept out all the coals. But it's still hot. Yeah, what's it hot from? The fire that used to be there, it's still hot from. Meaning, what is it essentially? A toldos or, a toldos age. So if you have a situation of a tolda of or, where there's nothing you could do to the frying pan right now because there's no fire there, but the frying pan was heated on a fire, says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, it's not going to be a problem. So the Achronim just extrapolate from that Rabbi Kiva Eiger that it's very mistaver that, and the Har Tzvi points this out, that if there's no concern that you're going to do chitoy because you can't, the kli doesn't have the ability to do chitoy, then it's a low plug. We don't say low plug, rather than it's no problem. It's no problem. However, some of the achronim, there's a sefer called Shvus Yitzchak, I don't know who it is, but some of the achronim suggest that Rekiv Eger is only makil when it's actually told us or. But when you have an actual heat source there, the original heat source is there, like on a crock pot, like on a hot plate, then Rabbi Akiva Eger wouldn't be making it. Right, so that's a good reason to be mechalik. Right, that's probably what the Shvus Yitzchak means. Right, the Shvus Yitzchak says Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to make it. It's like a kira grufa, and in a kira grufa, the temperature is slowly fading. Right, so how can you compare that to a single setting hot plate? You know, like those Israeli hot plates that are really, really hot. Right, you just plug it in and it gets really hot. So the fire is not, the heat isn't waning, the heat's not going down, and therefore you understand that this is going to be a machlokas, meaning that even though someone would be medayik from a kivega that it should be mutter, it's not an obvious diuk. So if you want to leave a chalent cooking on the hot plate from before Shabbos, to satisfy all shitos, what would you do? Blech. You have to cover the hot plate with some heavy duty foil. That's what it requires to cover all shitos. Is it possible that it's mutter? Yeah, it's possible that it's mutter based on the Rebbe Akiva Eger. But to cover all shitos, you'd want to put a blech.
How do warming drawers work? Like, why would that be any different?
We'll get to warming drawers. Now, when it comes to a crock pot, so if it's just a, you know, plug it and leave it and there is no way to turn it, same thing. Right? Same thing there. Pashtus is, if there's a good chance that it's mutter, you know, you understand why some might want to be machmir based on Rabbi Akiva Eger, so we try, you know, l'rav chadimilso, we might as well put a blech. What if there is a control knob? So then Rabbi Rubiat says, you have to wait till it's fully cooked, you have to make sure it's fully cooked before Shabbos, and you have to cover the control knob. And he says, Shamati Shekein Maram Harabalim, what did he accomplish? By waiting until it's fully cooked, and then covering the control knob. Why? What? Okay, so, well, I mean, you're not going to do bishul, you're just leaving it there. Yeah? So by making sure that it's fully cooked, you have the shita that, even according to the chacham, maybe it's okay to do shihiyah. And you have the possibility that covering the control knob is enough to solve for Shem Yechata. Right? That if you just cover the controls of it, then maybe you don't have to worry about Shem Yechata. So when you put those two together, Rav Shachter writes in his notes to Rav Nuber, to Rav Willick Sefer, that Rav Soloveitchik thought like Rav Aaron Cutler, that the Iker is not to cover the fire, the Iker is to cover where you would adjust the fire, that you would cover the knobs itself. So that's what Rabbi Riviat writes. However, even though Rav Shachter said that in general, when it comes to making a blech, you would cover the control knobs, I don't have full understanding of this, or any understanding of this. He holds that if it's an adjustable hot plate, as far as Chazara, he's more machmer. We'll get to that when we get to Chazara. Right, okay. So for Shihiyah, that's all you would need to do. Yeah, I guess.
What about the case that the balls are brought up with the Nerechais, that it's actually, it might be better to put it on right before Shabbos?
Right.
Instead.
Probably.
So that would be, how could it
with a crock pot, for sure. I think crock pot is the application, because my name of Keder Chais. I don't think we have any other application.
Which would be better?
Or make it garbage for katum.
Or to put it all the way so early. No, but to be not before shooting, there has to be garbage for katum and tarko for Shabbos.
Well, no, if you could accomplish actual garbage for katum, then you don't need it to be visual called tarko. Over here, we're concerned if you can't, if there's no way to cover it in foil or something like that. So it depends on the crock pot. They have these one piece crock pots and two piece crock pots. Right, two-piece crockpots, I think, are the more common ones, where there's like this outer metal cylinder, and then inside there's like this klecheres that goes inside where the food is actually placed. So that you can make a garfakatum rather easily. You just line the outer cylinder, the inside of the outer cylinder, with foil. Right? What? In some way, some minor way probably, but not significantly. But if you have a crockpot that's just a single piece, that you just plug it in and that's it, then there's no real way to make it karuv v'katum. That's what he's saying. Then you would have to rely on something like this, on making sure that it's mevushal kol tzarcha. Yeah, because that is very obvious that you're doing it for halachic reasons. Meaning, their problem with putting on the hot plate just a piece of foil is that you might be doing that for cleanliness. It's not a hecker at all. A lot of people just put foil on their hot plate just because there are spills very often on the hot plate. But on a crock pot, no one would put foil in between the two because nothing gets there. Unless your clay cheris is cracked, in which case the whole thing is broken anyway. Nothing's going to get there. Nothing's going to get in between the metal heating element and the thing. Now, what about an urn? You know, you set up your hot water thing. So you plug it in and it goes, right? So new, are you allowed to do that right before Shabbos? Water is inside of Ralo only once it gets hot, once it gets 160, let's say 160, right? But what? No, what's the whole concern of Shia? You can't adjust anything. You just plug it in, it's on. So you can't adjust anything. So it should be mutter because there are no control knobs. If there are control knobs, then it should be absolutely aser because you can't cover the heating element. Right? Meaning, unless you hold like Rav Aaron Cutler, that you only need to cover the control. But if you hold like Rav Moshe, that you got to cover that when it's adjustable, you have to cover the heating element, then it should be absolutely aser, unless it heated up before Shabbos. But it's 5 minutes before Shabbos. Oh gosh, I forgot to put up that water. I'm going to really want my coffee tomorrow morning. What do I do? So according to Rav Moshe, if it's a non-adjustable urn, there should be no shayla, because there's no shamiyachata. If it's an adjustable urn, then l'chora you have a problem. Most urns are non-adjustable, at least the ones I've seen. The only adjustment that you have on it is Sabbath mode, you know, now the newer ones. You have Shabbos mode, Yontif mode, which is beyond me. I have no idea what Yontif mode does, and weekday mode. I have some idea of what Shabbos mode does differently than weekday mode, maybe for a different time, but I have no idea what Yontif mode does. I have to figure that out. I guess I can call the company and find out. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe has this unusual chumrah, and they're not really sure why. Rav Moshe and Orchaim Chel Dal, Simonayin Dal, same tshuva, Os Chav Gimel, Rav Moshe writes, it has to come to a boil before Shkia. Any urn, you got to make sure that it can boil before Shkia. Even when it's non-adjustable. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a letter in Ma'or HaShabbos where he comments on Rav Moshe. He says, Shekanira Sheigros Moshe is kavin rak lizihirus bialma de'ein lasos chashashos chadashos. Rav Moshe must have been just suggesting an extra chumrah that is just, you know, matov manoim, might as well do that. But we can't really make our own gezeiros. We can't really make our own chashashos. What was Rav Moshe concerned about? So it seems what Rav Moshe was concerned about is that if you take out water on Shabbos before it's ever boiled, it will now cook more quickly. Because the less water that's in the urn, the quicker it's going to cook. And being memahir, the bishul, is a problem. So it's not so much that there's an isur shihia in leaving the water cooking into Shabbos. That's not what it's cooking, because there's no isur shihia. It can't be mechata. The concern is that you might come to be memahir the bishul if you take water out before it gets to the point that it's fully cooked. And that's why he says, just to be safe, get it fully cooked in advance of Shabbos, in advance of Shkia. But that's his own gezerah, meaning Rav Moshe made a gezerah lest you come to say. But at the very least, we should be conscious of what he was concerned about. Meaning, if we're going to put up the water right before Shabbos, don't take any water out till you come home from shul. By then, it's already hot enough. But you know, but one should be careful about that, of what he was concerned about. Chazanish wouldn't like urns either. Why? Oh, that's an actual, yeah, probably. Right. Probably. I wonder what they did. They didn't have hot water in Bnei Brak. I guess it was just all heated before Shabbos fully, and it's always a stomach problem. Right. It's probably always machmir for that emotion. What about a warming drawer? So, Hachzara, we're going to have issues that are, you know, we'll deal with. Is there a concern of Shami Echata by a warming drawer if you leave food in there from before Shabbos?
So some most warm drawers have high, low, medium, or you know different heat settings. So can you leave food in there from before Shabbos? So no, come on, this is an obvious one. You're just not thinking. What do you put in a warming drawer? Cooked food. You don't cook food in a warming drawer. It's not going to work. You put fully cooked food in a warming drawer. So you always have that to rely on. You always have that to rely on. If you, and therefore you could argue that something that's not even meant to cook anything in the first place, maybe there's no shem yichata, something that was never meant to be a cooking implement. But matov manayim, just to have extra zihirus, probably better to line the thing with foil, cover the temperature adjustment buttons, and then for sure you could do shigia. So it might still be an issue, and we'll discuss that when we get there, but then at least for sure you can do shihia. So that wraps up shihia for us. Now let's get to the issue of chazara. Now when it comes to chazara, it's hot?
No.
So that's a problem. Right? Because yesh b'shalach b'shal, we're assuming that we're talking about just the issue of shihia, just the issue of chazara. But we still have to remember that there could still be bishul issues. So we have to always keep in mind that we're not doing the actual bishul, right? And yesh bishulach or bishul b'davar lach, when it's nitzdanim legamri, we paskin me'ekra din. So the Gemara talks about chazara. This is Gemara I asked you to see yesterday and again today. On the bottom of Lam Chesam Ralef, Beisilom Maf Machzirin. So Amar Rav Sheshes, L'divri Omer Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos. That's an unusual phrase. If you hold that you could do Chazara, you could even do it on Shabbos. Even doing it like, I'm allowed to do Chazara during the week? You're telling me like on Tuesday it's okay? Like it's one thing we're going to say, Afilu B'Shabbos. So Rashi says, no, Afilu B'Shabbos means even Shabbos day. Then not only Friday night can you do Chazara, where it's obvious that you're still going to need it for the next day, but even Shabbos day, meaning when you take food off Friday night, it's obvious that you're going to put it back because you still want food for Shabbos day. When you take food off Shabbos day, it's not so obvious that you're going to put it back because you're done. You don't need it anymore. So even Shabbos day, you're allowed to do Chazara. That's how Rashi and the Tosfos and the Rush have a totally different explanation we're not going to get into right now. V'af Raboshia Savar, Av Machzirin Afil B'Shabbos. Dom Raboshia, Ham Achazinu Omdim Le'ilam Rebchir Rabba, We brought him a hot kettle from the bottom floor to the top floor. And we poured our nice cups of tea with a klishlishi or whatever, however they did it. And then we put it right back on the fire. We took the kettle, we brought it right back downstairs, put it right back on the fire. And he didn't criticize us at all. That's only if you were holding the kettle the whole time. It was still in your hand. But if you put the kettle down on the floor, then it's going to be asr. You're not going to be able to put it back on the fire. So again, we're talking about something that's fully cooked already. It's fully cooked. You're not cooking. You're not violating bishul over here. It's a concern midrabanan that you're returning something to the fire. So yeah, you could do that as long as you're still holding on to it. But if you put it on the karka, it's a problem. So what question immediately should come to mind? The Gemara explains two circumstances. One circumstance, debiado, you're holding it, that's mutter. The other circumstance, you put it on the floor, that's aser. Neither of those is the most common circumstance. What's the most common circumstance? Where you put it on the counter. You didn't put it on the floor. You're not holding it the whole time. It's unusual to hold something. You take chalent to scoop out some chalent on Friday night. You have some chevra after, a little tish, and you scoop out some chalent on Friday night. It's weird to hold it the whole time. I mean, that's what we do. But it's not natural to do that. Nor is it natural to put it on the floor. Normally, you just put it on the side. You put it on the counter. So what's the halach over there? And also, oda bi yado. Does biyado mean that you have to be holding it? Or does biyado just mean your hand has to be touching it? In some way, do you have to like literally be lifting the pot the whole time? So we'll have to see. Am Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Tadai, Da'avad, Ligarmehu Da'avad. He was doing his own thing. No, it's even mutter if you put it on the karka. So machlokas in the Gemara, whether you could put the food back on the fire after you've already put it on the karka. Repeating that this is a machlokas. Do you need to have it in your hand, or can you even put it on the karka? Good, so that's what we have so far. That certainly there's one opinion that you got to have it in your hand the entire time in order to be able to put the food back on the fire. Now, one thing I want you to keep in mind as we read through this Gemara, how many conditions do there have to be in order to allow chazar, in order to allow putting food back on the fire? So what do we have so far? A half of a condition, right? We have a half of a condition. The half of a condition is that it's machlokas whether you need otabiyada, right? We haven't seen anything else, right, in this Gemara. When you read the books, Rabbi Ribiad, Rabbi Simcha Ben Kohn, all the books, how many conditions of Chazar do they tell you? In your 10th grade Hilchah Shabbos class, what do they tell you?
Five.
So the books range from 4 to 6. Some will tell you 4, some will tell you 5, some will tell you 6. So we're going to figure out where all that comes from, because we've got a half so far, right? So where do all of the Tanai Chazara come from? Good. Well, we'll at least get another one out of this Gemara, though. Amram Chizkim Shmeda Abaye. Yes, you need Oda B'yado, but even that's not enough. In addition to Oda B'yado, you also need Daita L'Achzir. So what's the Gemara assuming? That you need Oda B'yado. And then, by the way, an additional Chiddush, you need Daita L'Achzir. You have to have in mind that you want to put it back. Avalein Daita L'Achzir Asir. If you don't have in mind to put it back, it's going to be Asir. Mechalda al gabe karka sounds like if it's on the ground, even having in mind to put it back is not good enough. If you put it on the ground, one or the other is not good enough. Right? That's clear in the Gemara at this point. To do one or the other, Odebiyada or Daita L'Achzir is not good enough. You need both. Another version is, Hadamid al gabe karka asilomer el ashein Daita L'Achzir, Avil Daita L'Achzir mutir. You only need one or the other. You don't need both. You could put it on the karka, and then as long as you have daita l'achzir, you're okay. Or you could keep it in your hand, then you don't even need to have daita l'achzir. One or the other is good enough. Mechal shabodim yadav shein daita l'achzir mutter. One or the other is good enough. So the Gemara has two versions of the conversation. One version of the conversation is you must have both odav yadav and daita l'achzir. The other one is one or the other. So what's the question? How do we paskin? Right? That's the whole thing. How do we paskin? If we paskin on the biyado and daita l'achzir, on the biyado or daita l'achzir. So what would you say, just based on your vast knowledge of Klalei Pesach, you know, from all your experience, what would you say? How do you paskin? Why? Savik d'Rabbanan l'chumra, the famous rule, Savik d'Rabbanan l'chumra. Because you're not modern Orthodox, right? Going back to last night, right? We look for new chumras. Well, I'm just making fun. Well, how do we pass? I mean, why do you pass the chumra? Okay. We've seen that people are machmir, but come on, we're learning it the first time. Open eyes, right? We're learning the sugya for the first time. Typically, the second lashon of the Gemara is the more authoritative lashon, correct? Wait, I don't know that, right? So the first lashon says you need both; the second lashon, one or the other, right? So, and the second lashon is typically the more authoritative one, so it would sound like one or the other is good enough. Oda b'yado or daita l'achzir. Any other indicators? In Pesach, yeah. Meaning
your das combined with the fact that it's not mechsik mevas for other people, it may seem that it would be.
So we're going to have to define a little bit what mechsik mevashel means. I've seen Achronim say it both ways. Is mechsik mevashel just a fancy way of saying maris hayin? That to other people it will look like you're cooking? Or is mechsik mevashel maybe, what I always thought, an entirely different concept? It has nothing to do with other people. It's an act that resembles bishul, and therefore the Chum said this is close enough to bishul that we're going to make it an isur drabanan. meaning not that other people will think you're cooking or other, you know, Marisayim, so you're going to tell me, well, it can't be Marisayim because it's Asur even when no one's looking. No, but we know the Gemara tells us, Maseches Beitza and elsewhere, that called Amish Asucham Mishu Marisayim, Afil Bechadri Chadar, they Asur even Bechadri Chadar, even when nobody's looking, they Asur Marisayim. So you're assuming that it's like a Marisayim issue. I'm not sure that that's the case. I thought that's what you were saying. You're saying you need both because that will be the most clear way.
If Nasa Gemavasha is close to Bishul, then how do we define what's close to Bishul?
Okay. One more line in the Gemara. That's two more lines. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tla'an b'makal mahu, hinichnaga b'mita mahu. What does this sound like? What's the Gemara asking about? Putting it on the counter, right? You're not putting it on the floor, but you're not keeping it in your hand. Is that good enough? By Rav Ashi, another shayla. Pinon mi mecham lemecham mahu. What if you move it from one flame to another? You move it from one hot plate to another. So is that okay? Is that called chazara? Is that mutter? Teku. The Gemara leaves it unresolved. Now, when the Gemara leaves something as a teku, how do we normally paskin on the teku? So that is a big machlokas rishonim. In the back of Maseches Shabbos, the Karban Asanel wrote klalei harif harash varamna. Klalei apsak for the rif rosh and the Rambam. And over there he says that it's a machlokas rishonim had a paskin on a teku. So the natural way to assume the paskin on a teku means that it's a safek. So the natural assumption is that it's a safek. So safek to araisa l'chumra, safek to rabbanan l'kula. In which case, in all of these cases, l'kula is all safek to rabbanan. However, there are those that hold that no teku mean. What does the word teku mean? Don't tell me what it stands for. What does the word actually mean? Meaning it's a cute thing that when you're fifth grade every 20. What? Let it stand unresolved. Meaning we cannot resolve it. When you cannot resolve something, you typically are cautious, right? So that's why many Rishonim hold that a teku d'rabbanan is l'chumra. Benin Tzion writes this way in the Tshuva, that's what the teku means. It's a question whether teku also means tishbi yitar yitzkushi yitzibayis. It seems that many Achronim assume that it means that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to have some role in this. Maritz Chayis is a little bothered by that, because if Eliyahu HaNavi comes one day and he says, I'm here, I'm a Navi, so I can resolve all of your halachic shaylos, we would then have to kill him. Right? Because and he's not allowed to paskin al pi nevuah. And if he thinks that he can, he's probably a Navi Sheker. So that's an interesting discussion. Eliyahu Navi might come say, I'm here, I'm Eliyahu Navi, and by the way, I also happen to be a bigger Talmud Chacham than any of you guys, so I'm going to paskin based on my Chachmas HaTorah. And in that way, he's going to be Mataris Kushas Yibayos. But then, as Rabbi Razin always likes to say, why is it teku? Why isn't it meku? Let Moshe Rabbeinu come in. Basically, like, why is Eliyahu Navi the biggest Talmud Chacham ever to live? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest Talmud Chacham ever to live. Right? What? Chacham mikol hazman, not Talmud Chacham. But Yudia said, Chacham in general. So Rabbi Razin always likes to say over the word from the Yema Banim Smecha. The Yema Banim Smecha writes that the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Navi is Moshe Rabbeinu died. And in order to pass on the halachas of every generation, you need someone who lived in that generation because circumstances change. Why does the Yem HaBanim Smecha say that? Because the Yem HaBanim Smecha, who's the Yem HaBanim Smecha of Techtal? What was his story? Came from a real Hungarian Hasidish background. And they were very, very staunchly anti-Zionist. But then he saw the Holocaust. And he said, I'm not defying my rebellion. They lived in a different reality than I live in. They lived in a reality pre-Holocaust. But circumstances change. So I can't ask Moshe Rabbeinu to paskin my shaylos in a post-Holocaust. I can't ask the Minchas Aluzer to paskin my shaylos. He was the most staunchly anti-Zionist. He made the Satmar Rebbe look like a pussycat. You know, like he thought like everything was, all the world's problems were Zionism. So I can't ask him to paskin my shaylos because he's not living right now. So Yem HaBanim Smecha says, I got to look at the world now with new glasses because now we're living in a different world. Teku, not meku. Okay. Let's take a step back, though. Why is chazara asur? Again, when we talk about chazara, we're talking about putting fully cooked food
right? And that's what they always include in one of the Tanai of Chazara, is that the food is fully cooked. Why is that? It's not really a Tanai of Chazara. That's, it's just saying that it's not Bishul, right? You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. How do I make sure that I'm not cooking when I'm putting something on a fire? Because it's already cooked, right? If it's not fully cooked, it's not really a din in Chazara that it's got to be fully cooked. It's just obvious that you can't put food that's not fully cooked on a fire on Shabbos, because that's Bishul Daraisa. So it's not really about Chazara. But, okay, so it's fully cooked food, of course. Of course it's fully cooked food. And I'm putting it on the fire on Shabbos. So why is that asur? Why is that asur? So Rashi on the Mishnah and the Ran both say Mechsi kimevashel. Mishnah Berurah Sivkat Lamed Zayin over here in Mishnah Gimel says the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, Sivkat Lamed Zayin V'yei Shomrim Sfirlu Dekivan Shnis Bashel. Where if it's not garuf, it would look like cooking. Meaning Mishmur quotes this daya of Mechsi Kimavashal being the concern of Chazara. Rav Belsky, Zichrono Levracha, thought that that reason of Mechsi Kimavashal should be taken very, very seriously, even though it's a minority shita of Rishon. And we're going to see this chaps a big nafkamina, whether the issue is Mechsi Kimavashal or something else. But Rav Belsky thought that we have to take it very seriously because Mishmur Berurah takes it seriously. And he had a number of chumras based on that the OU is makbid for, because there are a number of issues in Ilchus Shabbos when an OU caterer is catering a Shabbos event. How do you warm up the food on Shabbos morning, right? So there's a number of issues that Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter disagree about, and you know, when they can't resolve it, they're makbid. I mean, sometimes Rabbi Ganak just casts a deciding vote, but you know, when Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Shechter disagree, but in other instances they're just machmir. So that's one. That's Rashi. That's the Ran. Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Then Rabbi Natam and Sefer Yashar is quoted in Shaar Tzion. Also Lamed Zayin. Right. Also Lamed Zayin in the Shaar Tzion. Right. Rashi Vaharan. Right. That's the one that's in Mexican Vashel. But it was Sefer Yashar Isa. Sefer Yashu, which is Rabbeinu Tam, to lekach binim grufa, mishum dekshenotu min eish pamim shemitztaneles ktsas, v'chayshin Hashem yichat v'chazrasa. You will have taken the chalons off of the fire. Now you want to put it back on the fire, but you'll notice you've had it off while you were scooping out to feed, you know, all of your chevra. So it was off for a while, even though your hand was on it or whatever. But it was off for a while. Now you realize that it's cooled off. So you may want to raise the flame, meaning Hashem yichat v'chazrasa. That the concern of Chazar is Shem Yechad Bekhalim. Rav Shachter thought that is the Iker reason. That's the reason mentioned by the Magen Avraham and Reshon Gimel Sivkat Lechav. That's the reason mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch Rav. And Rav Shachter thought that's the only real reason. That the Mechzikim of Ashel is not what we paskin like. Now, what's the difficulty in saying that the concern is Shem Yechad? We already heard of Shem Yechad once before. Where did we have Shem Yechad? By Shehiyah. Right? Same thing, right? So you would imagine that the rules of Chazar and the rules of Shehiya should be very similar to each other. What if you do Chazar on a food that's fully cooked? It's samik v'rala. Is it totally fine? Now you can do Chazar in an open flame. No. We're more machmir by Chazar than we are by Shehiya. But if it's exactly for the same concern, Shem Yechata, why are we more machmir chazara than we are by Shehiya? So Rabbeinu Tam asks that kasha in the Sefer Yasha, and he says, because when you're actively engaged in putting the food on the fire, you're much more likely to play with the fire than when you're just leaving it there before Shabbos. I would add that Shehiya is something that you do before Shabbos. Chazara is something you do on Shabbos. So it's mistaber that you're going to be a little more machmir chazara than Shehiya. Questions? No, all good. Yeah.
Azura is even if it's the Sarah Bia Chabad, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like even if it's not Rala.
I mean, that here, right?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Yes, it needs to be Mufushal Kaltzarach, but yes. Now, the Rasi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi says that that even the reason of Mechzi Kemevashel is Lo Shayich Ela B'machem Shesh Negzerim Mishum Shamayichata. That Mechzi Kemevashel is never stand alone. It's always when is it going to be Mechzi Kemevashel? When you have the opportunity to be Mechata. Meaning, if you hold covering knobs is good enough for Shehiyah, then Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank would say covering knobs is good enough for Chazara. Because I've taken care of Shem Yechat. I mean, if you hold, like Rav Aaron Cutler, that covering knobs is good enough for Shehiyah, then you would hold that it's good enough for Chazara. And that's why Rabbi Eider writes in footnote Tuf Kuf Samach Gimel in Rabbi Eider's Sefer, he says that Mori V'Rabbi Agon Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal. I just had like a flashback. Rabbi Silver in Karen Biavni used to give like Hilchah Shabbos Chug. All I ever remember him saying is Tuf Kufta. Like he's always quoting footnotes of Rabbi Eider because that was the safer when he prepared it. So it's always like Tuf Kufta. Like wait, what was that? Tuf Kufta. You know, because Rabbi Eider had one long running number system. He didn't like start the numbers again with each chapter. So Rabbi Eider in slowly. Rabbi Eider in Arab Tuf Kuf Samach Gimel writes that Rav Aaron Cutler was Matir Chazara without a blech in an oven, as long as you cover the knobs of the oven. Because that's the holding of the blech. I mean, you could put food back in an oven on Shabbos. An oven that's on Shabbos. No, you're not talking about a blech. I mean, because it is a blech. You have the knobs covered. Wow. I don't think we do that. That's not the Yeshivish thing to do. Even though it came from Lakewood. That's not... doesn't seem like that. That's widely accepted. So again, what's the difference between Shehiyah and Chazara? So first of all, Shehiyah, Chazara is a problem even it could be a problem even on a blech, and Shehiyah is mutter on an open fire if it's mitzamik v'ralo. Chazara can never be done on an open fire. Now, Tanayi Chazara. So we already started the Tanayi Chazara. Let's get it rolling here. Right, we saw this Gemara. Two Lashonos, whether Oda B'Yoda Daitalachs are both required, one without the other. Comes the Ran, Yud Zayinam Beis B'Dapei Arif, Dibra Maschul Lo Shanu. Yeah, Lo Shanu, says the Ran, after he quotes both Lashonos, V'hai Lishna B'Gemara Basrohu. The second Lashon said what? One or the other, that's the Lishna Basra. So, Yaakov Fuchs taught us before, Lishna Basra means you're paskin that way. Comes around, says, Vafilu, he's right, but, Vafilu achi paski rabusa kalishna kama luchumna. This is an exception. This is an exception to the rule. Over here we pass on luchumna. The avogav the ko, hani milimi drabanan bialmaninu, even though all of these halachas are obviously drabanan. Snuck that in there. That once you get to Malcolm and Josiah, there's no Bishul Daraisa. This is the Ran saying, like who? The Rashba, right? But there's no Bishul Daraisa after Malcolm and Josiah. If we were writing this Ran, we would say, once you get to Mubishul Kaltzarcha, it's no Bishul Daraisa. Hichmiru Zal Bidvarim Alalu Mipnei Shein Krovin Lovely Day Isser Torah. I don't know how you measure that, but what he's saying is that certain derabbanans are so closely bordering on an issur d'oraisa that we're always going to be more machmir than. And this is one such issur d'rabbanan. So it says the Ran, we're machmir. Wow. So what are the Tanai Hachzara? So again, first of all, Nispashal Kol Tzorchus, obviously, I don't even know if you want to call it a Tanai, but everyone lists it as one of the Tanai. That's just a Tanai not to violate Bishul. The Ramah says it explicitly in Sif Beis. Then the Ramah says, you also need Daito Lachzira. You also need, says the Ramah, Oda Biyada. What's that? Sorry? Rotachas. Ah. So, Then the Shulchan Aruch says garafakatum, right? It needs to be garafakatum. The Ramah adds that it has to be that it's no longer chaim, that once it's no longer chaim, you can't return. It needs to still be rosachas. And there's a sixth possible one. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis says that a kira that's grew for ketuma is only mutter to achzara al gaba, but not letocha. You can't put something inside, only on top of it. If we take that literally, if you were to take that literally, we'd have to go around our kitchen, and the question you ask yourself is this, does this involve putting in or on? And anything that's on is okay, anything that's in is a problem? Which would mean a warming drawer would be a problem. Oven obviously a problem. Crock pot is a problem. Hot plate okay, blech okay. So what does that mean? Why is there a chiluk between in or on? So we're going to have to get into all of this. So let's, do we have 5 minutes. So let's at least start with one of these tonight. Daita lahaksia. So Rav Simcha ben Mekonim, page 62, footnote 12, raises the following chakira. What is daita lahaksia? How do you fulfill daita lahaksia? Listen to this chakira. Is daita lahaksia that you have das to return it, or that you don't have das not to return it? What's the nafkamina between having das to return it and not having das not to return it? What most people have, which is nothing on their brains, right? You know, I'm not thinking anything. What were you thinking? Chulin, right? That's all you were thinking. You weren't thinking yes, returning, not returning. You just weren't thinking about it at all. So what's the din? Is it a din that you need positive das lahachzir, or you just can't have negative das shalal lahachzir? Or what if it fell off? You know, your hot plate is very safely, angled a little bit because it's, sitting on side, and the pot just slides right off. So can you just put it right back on? You didn't have das not to return it, but you didn't have das to return it either. So what's the halacha in such a case, right? That would be enough kamina. Or the fire goes out. You want to put it on another esh that's grufo ketumah. The fuse blows on that hot plate. You run to the neighbor and put it on their hot plate. Is that okay?
Can we just say that that lobster, if somebody were to ask you what you're going to do afterwards, and then it kind of hit you and you said, "Oh, I'm just going to put it back, bring it back out."
Ah, so can we say that it's megala daita lemafreya?
Yeah.
Interesting, but that won't help in the cases where the fuse blew, right? Then there was no das. It will help for the person who has nothing in his mind. So Rav Simcha Punim has a beautiful mahalik over here. Rabbi Kivega raises a different subject. I don't know if we can get through the whole mahalik, but we'll start. And you should take a look at this, Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega in the Hagos and Shulchan Aruch Simon Reishon and Gimel raises a subject about the following. Let's say Reuven takes Shimon's pot off of the blech. Whose daita lahachzir do you need? It's my challen. You took it off. My das or your das? So Oda B'Yado, I know who's Oda B'Yado, you have to have. The guy who's doing it is Oda B'Yado. Is Daita Lahaksir, right? Or he says it differently. Kivega says, what if Reuven takes Shimon's pot off the blood and Reuven doesn't have Daita Lahaksir? Does his machshava make it Asr? Or do you say, this is the way that Rabbi Kivega says that, I said it wrong. Does his machshava make it Asr because he didn't have Daita Lahaksir? He might have even had direct us not to be Machsir. Right? Or do you say, what would be the svara why it can't become aser? Because Shimon doesn't plan on returning it? There's a concept in halacha, in Shas, called Ein Ademoser Davar She'Eino Shalom. I can't aser something that doesn't belong to me. I don't have the capacity to aser something that doesn't belong to me. When it's metaphysical. If it's physical, of course I can. Right, if I take a piece of chazer and I stick it in your chalent is not kosher. Right, obviously. I can answer it that way when it's physical. But when it's metaphysical, let's say, I drive a very, very fancy car, a Toyota Corolla, and Rabbi Blass was here one summer, and I was in the parking lot, and Rabbi Blass says to me, Rabbi Leibowitz, I admire you so much. And I said, thank you. But why? And he said, because sometimes Rabbanim from the five towns think they have to live like a five towns person and they drive these fancy cars and whatever, and you drive a Toyota Corolla. And I was like, Rabbi Bless, what are you trying to say about my car? I was like, very insulted. So let's say I walk out of my house. Now, my neighbor Nebuchadnezzar drives a Mercedes. So I walk out of my house, and I see that he's jealous of me. He sees my Kaylee stickers on it and everything. And not jealous of me, he thinks my car is so amazing, he wants to worship it. Right? He makes an Avodah Zarah out of it. So I come out of my house, and my neighbor is bowing to my car. So do I now say that it's us about not? It's Avodah Zarah. It's us about not. So no, the halacha is ain adam osur davar she'eino shlo. If I bow to my car, it's us about not. But if he bows to my car, it's mutter. So do you say ain adam osur davar she'eino shlo and dait l'achzir? That he didn't have das l'achzir, so maybe he can't aser it. Assuming that you need both, that you need dait l'achzir. Wow. Now, clearly, if he puts it down, it's awesome, because that's a physical thing. But das is not a physical thing.
We find in the Shabbos that someone doesn't walk on the shoge, but they took the shoge for him, it's awesome, but for other people, don't look at
it. The food was probably awesome beforehand, that, meaning you're not asering davar she'eino shlo. It's not because of ain also davar she'eino shlo, that's called being nene from Malacha on Shabbos. If here no malacha was done, taking food off fire is definitely not a malacha. Okay, so we're just getting started. I'm telling you now what to do for tomorrow. Take a look at that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and then after you look at the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, see if you can get a copy of. I have a copy of the campus copies. The Simcha Bunim Kohn footnote number. It's all in Hebrew. The footnotes, but it's a Geshmaka footnote. Footnote number. What did I say? Number 12 on page 62, and we'll pick up from there.